Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the World Teacher Program for Share International New Zealand on Planet FM 104.6. Each Friday morning, we bring you information from the teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. The purpose of our program is to introduce Maitreya, the world teacher for the Age of Aquarius. Maitreya does not come alone. He brings with him the Masters of Wisdom, a group of highly evolved teachers who work in many fields and teach us the art of living, how to work in right relationship with each other. With their inspiration, we can transform our civilization, creating justice and peace, and use the technological advances available to us. Approximately every 2,500 years, a new teacher brings a body of teaching to humanity that is suited to our needs at that particular time. Usually this takes place at the end of an age. Right now, as the age of Pisces declines and our solar system aligns with the constellation Aquarius, new energies are beginning to make themselves felt. As these Aquarian energies of sharing and justice stream into our planet, the need for change can be seen more clearly. A period of chaos ensues as the old order lessens its grip on humanity, and the impulse of sharing, justice and peace inspires us to move forward in evolution as a united group.
And good morning, everybody, and it's wonderful to have you here with us today. And we're going to do this program about UFOs, as a matter of fact, so that should be a little bit interesting. And it's entitled UFOs, Something is Happening, and it's by William Allen. In December 2017, the New York Times and the political news website Politico.com broke the story about the secretive five-year, multi-million-dollar Pentagon program to analyze UFO incursions into restricted airspace, called the Advanced Aviation Threat Identification Program, in short, AATIP. Many in the UFO investigative and enthusiast community wondered, was this breach in the bulwark of official secrecy the first step towards a bigger revelation? The story made clear the US military intelligence complex has been taking the UFO phenomenon seriously, despite decades of claiming otherwise. Was this finally placing us on the path to official disclosure, a public accounting of what the US government knows about the phenomenon? Just as important, would any of the mainstream media follow the story's lead and commence a full-blown investigation?
The initial story about AATIP by the New York Times was picked up and made prominent by countless news outlets in the US and abroad. But by several weeks into 2018, the buzz had diminished. The major media, including the Times itself, seemed to have moved on. Meanwhile, Luis Elizondo, the former Korea intelligence officer who managed the team of scientists and technicians who worked within AATIP, was in demand for interviews on radio and television, along with UFO-themed podcasts. He was also a featured speaker at many UFO symposiums. We learned more about the focus of AATIP from these appearances. For example, numerous reports of military personnel encounters with UAPs, which is the short form for Unidentified Aerial Phenomena, the new official acronym for UFOs, going back decades, were collected and analysed along with a number of photos and videos.
In some cases, the personnel involved were interviewed. I think people will be surprised just how frequent and the volume in which these things are apparently recorded and observed by active duty military people on missions around the world, Elizondo told an interviewer from a Nevada television station. He further stated that although the funding for AATIP lasted from 2007 through 2012, the Pentagon is still actively investigating UAP incidents via other programs. When the New York Times and Politico first broke the AATIP story, the reports were accompanied by U.S. Navy jet cockpit video of a wingless, 40-foot-long, oval-shaped object encountered off the coast of San Diego, California, in November 2004. Navy Commander David Fravor, now retired, was piloting one of the jets that engaged the object. He was brave enough to step forward and be interviewed throughout 2018. In one interview with US television's ABC News, he recounted what he had witnessed, then added, "I can tell you, I think it was not from this world."
In the spring of 2018, we learned that the AATIP story, and just to repeat what that stands for, Advanced Aviation Threat Identification Program, had piqued interest in the UFO phenomenon among certain members of the US Congress. Politico held a special event on 12 April to herald the premiere of its new feature titled Space News Briefs. The event included a discussion among a panel comprised of an advisor to President Trump's newly formed Space Council and two members of the House Committee on Science, Space and Technology, Representatives Randy Hultgren, who's a Republican from Illinois, and Amy Barra, a Democrat from California, who also sits on the Science Subcommittee on Space and Aeronautics. At one point, a political reporter brought up the unidentified aerial phenomena issue with a hint of discomfort or the giggle factor. Representative Barry indicated that the AATIP story had aroused his interest and that of other congresspersons. He said, "I've talked to the chairman of the subcommittee as well as the chairman of the full committee," adding, "I think we ought to have a hearing on this, right? Obviously, it's important enough to allocate some funds and talk about what we can talk about openly."
I read that statement twice to make sure I hadn't misunderstood. As far as we know, there have not been congressional committee hearings on the UFO phenomenon since the 1950s, and those were not open to the public. As of this writing, there has been no indication any open hearings have been scheduled. By the autumn of 2018, there still had been no in-depth media follow-up, despite indications that the interest in Congress had not abated. In a 15th of October open editorial about the UAP issue for The Guardian, Nick Pope, who manned the UK Ministry of Defence UFO desk for 3 years in the 1990s, wrote that reliable sources had informed him that both the US Senate and House Armed Services Committees had been briefed during the summer on AATIP by Defense Intelligence of Agency officials, along with at least two military pilots and a radar operator who were involved in UAP incidents in 2004. If Pope could get word of the briefings, where was the press? "It surprises and disappoints me," he wrote in a November email exchange with a US-based UFO blogger, "that despite tangible evidence of congressional interest, the US media has largely not touched it."
Then, on 15 January 2019, the New York Times weighed in again, not with more revelations about AATIP, but an article documenting the earliest days of Military and Central Intelligence Agency, CIA, handling of the UFO phenomenon, including 1940s and 1950s memos from high-ranking Air Force officers stating that based upon collected observations of their extraordinary capabilities, it was plausible the anomalous aerial craft were interplanetary. One of the most explosive statements made by the Times reporters relates to Project Blue Book, the US Air Force public program that investigated thousands of civilian UFO sightings in the 1950s and 60s. It says, when Blue Book closed in late 1969, the Air Force flatly lied to the American people, issuing a fact sheet claiming that no UFO had ever been a threat to national security, that UFOs did not represent technological developments or principles beyond the range of present-day scientific knowledge, and that there was no evidence they were extraterrestrial vehicles.
In sum, the article presents compelling evidence that elements within US military and intelligence agencies have for decades been keenly interested in and were investigating UFOs while presenting a public visage of denial or indifference. Would it be a conspiracy theory to call that a cover-up? However, the article elicited a fraction of that interest by other news outlets that the AATIP scoop had garnered. This might be due to the fact that when it was published, the US was in the midst of a controversial partial government shutdown that would become the longest in US history. There were numerous social and economic ramifications that rightly needed to be reported. But there might be another, more subtle reason as well. The Times article can be read not only as an indictment of elements within the US government, but also an unintended spotlight on a major failure of the news media, including the Times itself. Despite significant investigations of the UFO phenomenon by private groups of researchers using accepted scientific methodologies, and despite a number of retired military whistleblowers attesting to a cover-up, the major media had followed the military intelligence agenda since the 1960s by ignoring the subject altogether, or framing it within the giggle realm when not outright debunking it.
Also in January 2019, the principal legislative sponsor of AATIP, former US Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid of Nevada, gave a series of interviews to Nevada television and radio reporters in which he stated he would be contacting powerful colleagues still in office and urging them to not only do more to study the UFO issue, but also create a way for military personnel to testify about their experiences without fear of damaging their careers. A Senate rule prohibiting Reid from lobbying colleagues for 2 years after leaving office had by then expired. 3 months later, in late April, the UAP, or slash UFO issue, was elevated to a new level of mainstream credibility. Politico broke the news that, according to a US Navy spokesman, in response to unknown, highly advanced aircraft intruding on naval maneuvers and other restricted military sites in recent years, the Navy is drafting a new protocol for its pilots and other personnel to report their UFO sightings or encounters without fear of being stigmatized. The spokesman also revealed that senior naval intelligence officials and an unspecified number of pilots had provided a series of briefings to certain congressional members and staff about the UAP incidents.
Could this revelation be seen as a significant move towards more government transparency regarding UFOs, or a measured step towards official disclosure? Enthusiasm that it might be one of those possibilities was no doubt dampened when the Washington Post published on 1st of May a statement from a Navy spokesman that, due to aviation safety concerns and the secretive nature of military operations, reports generated by UAP investigations will remain classified, and no release of information to the general public is expected. Then, on 29th of May, the New York Times was back with blockbuster interviews with several US Navy aviators who described their almost daily encounters with UAPs off the US East Coast from the summer of 2014 to March 2015. For example, one pilot related how a UAP he described as a sphere encasing a cube flew past his aircraft so closely it could be called in aviation protocols a near miss. Once again, the Times report was a sensation and was picked up by numerous mainstream news outlets, sparking yet more debate about what the objects might have been, adding more fuel to the fire of specialization within the UFO community that something important is happening.
It should be noted, however, that in all of the recent revelations and reports cited above, no one from officialdom ever uses the term extraterrestrial, not even as a hypothesis. Instead, the UFO phenomenon is framed as a potential national security threat that must be further investigated. We might be witnessing what is called perception management. The genie is out of the bottle. It is impossible to disprove the existence of UFOs, but the public's perception of the phenomenon can be influenced. That's not meant to imply that the military officials and Congress members involved in these new developments know the truth and are engaged in some kind of disinformation program. But we learned from Benjamin Krem and his master that there are those who do know. And I would say they manage the flow of information very cautiously, including to other branches and levels of government. As Benjamin Krem's master stated, much is known by many government agencies and withheld from the public, Above all, the harmlessness of the UFO, even when known, is never affirmed. On the contrary, everything concerning them, while wrapped in vague mystery, is presented as threat.
People in positions of power and control know that if their people knew the true nature of the UFO phenomenon and understood them to be envoys from civilizations far ahead of ours, they would no longer accept passive and mute the conditions of life on Earth. They would demand that their leaders invite these aerial guests to land openly and to teach us how to live and achieve in the same fashion. The time is not far off when this will be the case. And that was from the article entitled The Path to the Sun and Share International, May 2004. In an interesting synchronicity, on the same day, the New York Times published its interviews with the pilots, another open editorial by Nick Pope entitled UFOs Have Come Out of the Fringe and Into the Mainstream, appeared in the New York Post. He concludes with, the pace of events is picking up. Something is happening, something new, something big. Share International readers will know he is correct, but not in the way he imagines.
So to finish today's program, we've got a few relevant questions and answers from Benjamin Krem, published in one of his books. The first one goes, you mentioned that there are different individuals who work together with UFOs on different projects. There is an interesting project in America conducted by Dr. Stephen Greer called the Disclosure Project. Could you comment on this? Dr. Greer is doing useful work. He is not working, so far as I know, with the Space Brothers, but he is impatient with the fact that there is enormous evidence to prove that UFOs exist. Not proof of where they come from or their purpose, but that they are real, do in fact exist. They have been seen by hundreds of thousands of people for years, and yet the governments of the world, most of whom have adequate data on their existence, refuse to make that known. There is a huge cover-up from the highest levels in America, Russia, Britain, the European and various other countries who have been collecting data, evidence from their pilots, policemen, soldiers and the public for years. This amounts to a huge body of evidence which is never published, never made known, but is covered up. People disappear even in certain parts of the world and nothing more is heard of them. There is even sometimes coverage by media to discredit the evidence and so on. In this way, the governments control what the public knows, or rather does not know, about the Space Brothers and the UFO phenomenon. In this way, they can keep it down.
Dr. Greer is impatient with this. He has himself experience of UFOs and wanted to make it known. He has set up a means for other people, ex-Army, ex-RAF or ex-United States Air Force personnel, to come forward and give their evidence. When people of their standing and experience give evidence in this public way, they hope it will lead to a general better understanding and maybe eventually an open statement by the governments of the world. Of course, when governments make such a statement about their knowledge, they are also at the same time committing political suicide. They think that if we know the technology that the Space Brothers have, which is so much more advanced than our own, then the ideas, the wisdom of these people is much more to be valued than that of our own governments. They do nothing but make war on each other, in competition, destroy the economies of each other, and make life miserable for hundreds of millions of people throughout the world. Inevitably, we would say we want the Space Brothers to come and teach us their ways, that we do not need you. They see that as a loss of their power, and so they keep the whole situation secret.
Can we contact the Space Brothers? Can we contact them? No, they contact us. They know those on whom they can depend, who can do the work that they are engaged in and that needs to be done, who can commit themselves and work like they do. Is there any way in which we can contribute to their work? You can contribute to their work by making it known, by giving a true picture of them and their work. If you can present them as people who do exist and spaceships that do exist, and that they are totally harmless and peaceful beings who only come to help, you would do a good job for humanity.
And that's all we have time for today, and thank you very much for listening. If you'd like more information, please look at our website, which is share-international.org, or you may email us at sharenz@yahoo.com. Love and blessings to you all. Bye-bye.